And I'll ask you to take a ribbon, if you have one in your Bible or your finger, and put it in the book of Genesis around chapter 2 in that area. And I want to preach on this subject this morning, and it's called the prototype of the resurrection. The prototype of the resurrection. And I want you to understand that every person who is saved by the grace of God is connected to two people. If you're saved. Now, if you're not saved, you're only connected to the natural or one at this point. But if you are saved by God's grace and you know what it means to be a child of God based upon the gospel of Jesus Christ as told about in 1 Corinthians 15, and we're looking at the resurrection in all of chapter 15, which is the capstone of the gospel. It is the very capstone of the gospel because it doesn't take us, it doesn't take man very long to understand death and burial, but resurrection is something totally different. If you've been around long enough, you know that your body is very perishable. It's very dishonorable. It's very weak. It's very natural. But if you're saved, one of these days it'll be raised imperishable, glorious, powerful, spiritual, and eternal. And it'll be a forever body. So the Bible talks about in our text this morning the prototype of the resurrection. And here's what it says in verse number 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul, and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. So if you're saved, there's two people you're connected to, Adam and Jesus Christ. Amen. The first Adam is natural, but the second Adam made us spiritual. Praise God. Both of those are prototypes. Adam is the prototype of the natural, and Jesus Christ is the prototype of the spiritual. Verse 46, howbeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As he is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy, and as is the heavenly, such are also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, praise God, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So I want to preach this morning on the prototype, and really, not only the prototype of the resurrection, but also the prototype of the natural. God help us today as we look at these verses and understand there is a natural body. And of course, we understand that as we sit here today in our earthly tabernacle. Lord, we understand that one day, if you're saved by God's grace, that this body cannot inherit the kingdom of God because it is earthy, it is perishable, it is sinful. And so, Lord, we have the prototype that you gave us of, in the resurrection of the spiritual body, the heavenly body. And God, I pray this morning that at the end of the service, we might understand that flesh and blood certainly cannot enter the kingdom of God, only that which is spiritual. And you cannot receive the spiritual body unless you've been saved by the grace of God. So I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, there may be somebody sitting here this morning that is actually asking the question, well, what is a prototype? What does that mean? Well, the word prototype means first. It means the preliminary of something, a preliminary model of something. And we could all go on to say that which from other forms will be developed or copied. Now, there's a couple of things that I would like to say about that. One is I used to be a big knife collector. I guess that if you're from Tennessee, that it is probably in your DNA to collect knives. And my dad was a knife collector, And still to this day, I have several of his knives that are, I kept the most valuable of the knives that he collected over the years. I remember when my dad told me this story, that when he came back from Korea, he came back, before he went to Korea, he went to his next door neighbor, which was, I can't remember his name, McFarlane, I believe was his name, and he gave him his very prized knife, and it was a prototype. In other words, that was a very special knife that he had. And for some reason, he was close to his neighbor. Where my dad grew up, there was this end of the street, and there was about eight families that lived in that neighborhood, and they all knew each other very well. And man, there's many stories that can be told about those eight families and how they interacted together, the kids and all that. So my dad gave this knife to his next door neighbor and told him to hold it for him until he got back from the army. And if he didn't get back somehow, did not make it back, then that he would ask him to keep the knife because he was a knife collector also. So the man put the knife up. And while my dad was in Korea, his neighbor died. My dad didn't, but the neighbor did. So when my dad got back, there was no way to find out where the knife was. He didn't have any idea. He didn't make a big deal about it. And so many years later, in fact, when I was 12 years old, my dad bought the old home place that he grew up on, tore down that house, but the next house next to it, the man he had gave the knife to, that house was taken by a contractor and was totally remodeled and bricked and all of this, and we bought that house. My dad bought that house, and my family moved to that. My dad was so proud that we were basically moving back to the place where he grew up. Well, many years later, when I was about 17 or 18 years old, we'd lived there about 5 or 7 years. We had another neighbor that was next to us, and his name was, we called him Old Man McFarlane. And Old Man McFarlane had some of the best, just some of the most amazing gardens you'd ever see. And he wore overalls. He was Tennessee from the top of his head to the bottom. And by the way, he wore overalls and long sleeve shirts all through summertime working in that. And me as a kid wondered about that. Well, he didn't get no skin cancer, let me tell you that, all right? And so one day my dad was next door to Old Man McFarlane, and they were switching stories about their gardens, and they were talking about their gardens. And my dad was talking about, so here's, if I can just get this in your mind, here's the old home place, here's the place where he gave the knife to, and Old Man McFarlane lived next door to that. This house over here was a 2-bedroom house that raised 8 children, and it got real decrepit, and my dad tore it down and made it into a goat pen. Everybody got that? All right. So now goats live there. Now this is the house that we live in, and Old Man McFarlane had lived in this house since the 30s. And my dad is over there talking to McFarlane, Old Man McFarlane, about different stuff. And the thing about the knife came up, and my dad said, yeah, when I left here from this place here and I went into Korea, I had this knife. It was very precious to me, and he said, I gave it to the next door neighbor, but he died while I was gone, and blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And I'm telling you, this is an awesome story because my dad goes back to his garden, and as far as I know, Old Man McFarlane had never left his yard, as far as I know, and I saw him walking, my dad told this, he walks over to my dad and hands him the knife in question. Somehow, this man had gotten this knife after he died and had put it up, had no idea that it was actually my dad's knife. He, thinking that it was the other man's knife, gave my dad's knife back to him. Now, that is something that's pretty special if you're a knife collector from Tennessee. I was able to collect knives for about 5 or 6 years, Shatton Morgan's. And I collected probably 100 knives over a period of 6 years. And any time that I could get a prototype knife, I would try to buy it. And I'm telling you, those knives ended up helping me and my wife go on a 25-year anniversary trip to Hawaii because I sold those knives and over a period of about 4 months that I had saved for 6 months. And the ones that sold the best were the prototypes, the very first knife. A knife that was made by Queen or Case or Chatton Morgan or one of these companies, that they would make this knife and they would put it on display. But it was from that knife that they would make the rest of their knives. They would model it after that particular knife. Now, this week in the news, I don't know if you saw this, but there was a headline that had the word prototype in it. And here's what it said. Here's the new uniform of Space Force. And here's what it said. The prototype uniform for Space Force. And they were showing the very first model of what the uniform would look like that all other uniforms made in Space Force would be developed or copied by. Now, when I say prototype, listen, Adam is the prototype of our natural body. Because Adam fell into sin, we deal with this decrepit body today. But there is the prototype that is the second Adam, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, so that we can understand this morning that if we're saved by the grace of God, this is not the body that we will live with in eternity. It is the prototype of what Jesus gave us in the resurrection. Somebody say amen to that. So I'm just telling you this morning, while we looked at the nature of the resurrection in the last message, we found out very clearly that the nature of our new body will be a spiritual one. And Paul is answering the question of verse 35 of how will the dead be raised up. And in the verses that I just read, I want you to look at, there's two types or two prototypes or two contrasts of two different types of body. One is a natural body and the other is a spiritual body. Now I'm living in the natural. You're living in the natural. Those, when we're raised from the dead. Now listen, when you die in the Lord, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But there's going to come a time when we actually receive our eternal spiritual bodies, and the prototype of that is Jesus Christ. So we can look at the post-resurrection of Jesus Christ. We can look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we can get an idea. Hey, listen, we all know what the first body's like, but we don't know so much about what the second body is like, except for what the Bible tells us. So I want you to understand, again, there's two prototypes that a Christian is tied to. Adam and the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Adam gives us our natural body, but Jesus, through the resurrection, gives us our spiritual body. So let's look at prototype number one. Look at verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Now go back to Genesis chapter 2, because this is literally a quote from Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7. And notice what it says. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, I want you to understand that Adam's body was not glorified at this time, but it was perfect and it was good. And God looked after he had made Adam, and he had created Eve, and he had created creation. He looked at Adam and said, this is good, this is perfect. And the prototype body, the natural body, was tested. And it failed the test. And man fell into sin. We do not know how long the test took place. Nobody knows how long. So don't read some commentary that said it took 3 months, 1 year, 3 days. Nobody knows. All we do know is soon as man in his natural state was tested, he failed the test. And don't get on to Adam, you would have failed the same way. And Adam disobeyed the command from God. Now, let's just, I don't like hypotheticals a lot. I don't like them too much. But I want you to understand, if Adam and Eve had obeyed God and they had passed the test, if they had been faithful to what God had told them rather than disobedient, eventually their bodies would have been glorified by eating the fruit of the tree of life. But God told them, now listen, don't eat. You've got to eat of every tree, but don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we know from Scripture they ate the forbidden fruit. They sinned and it entered into mankind. Look at Genesis chapter 2 and verse 8 and verse number 9. It says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there He put the man whom He had formed. And out of the ground He made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 3 that man disobeyed God when the serpent came and was more subtle than any beast of the field. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." So they knew what the commandment was. Just like most of us know what the commandments of God are. Here's the commandment of God. If you're not saved, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Why did God do that? Why did God send His Son, Jesus Christ? Because man failed in the natural state. Because man fell into sin. Man disobeyed God. And therefore the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have all missed the mark. We are all sinners. Do you know why we sin? Because we are sinners. And everyone is a sinner. And God said, okay, well, you disobeyed. Now, then they begin to have enlightenment of their eyes are open. They realize they're naked. God has to kill an animal to cover them and such as that. But here's what we know from Scripture. They ate the fruit. They sinned. It entered into man. God put them out of the garden. I believe because if they'd eaten the tree of life, they would have lived forever in the state of sin. You see, we, according to what we just read, when God took the dust and He breathed, and He formed Adam and He breathed in his nostrils, and the Bible said he became a living soul. Listen to me, we are living souls. We are of the earth. But we bear the image of the earthly. We are earthly creatures. We don't know what it's going to be like when we get to heaven. That's why we try so hard to stay on the earth. All we know is the earth. That's all we know. And here's what we do know. We know that Adam was the prototype of our natural body. We also know that all the descendants of Adam have natural bodies. If you go back to our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 46, the Bible states the obvious, that the natural man was first. Every human being started with Adam. I don't know if you've ever done your genealogy or not. We've done quite a bit. Actually, I haven't done it. I've just been the recipient of our genealogy going back several hundreds of years, and different things you find out about your ancestors and such as that. Now, to me, one of the most funny things is we went, me and Brother Fred Riemenschneider. Did you hear that? Riemenschneider. We went to Germany and he knew the place where the Riemenschneiders was. And we go there and we made a trip there. And you know what Riemenschneider, you know what the Riemenschneider guy did? He was a woodworking carpenter. You know what Fred does? Well, he used to when he had a shop, when he had a house that he don't have anymore. But when he did woodworking. Now, you can't make that stuff up. DNA runs deep. Now, unfortunately, I don't have any kind of those stories like that. Mine are all like, oh, that was not so very good. And that wasn't so good. Praise God, we got saved by the grace of God somewhere down the line. Change our family tree, amen? So all that's in my family tree ain't woodworking. It's just a bunch of wickedness. And we're just earthly. Every human, but here's what I was going to say. But if you go back far enough, you'll go all the way back to Adam. And you understand, you go back to Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But if you take Shem, Ham, and Japheth and go back to Noah and go back to Lamech and go back, you read the Bible, guess what? We all started with Adam. And we all bear the image of the earthly. If you do a family tree, your descendants go all the way back. And the real conclusion is we all came from Adam. And Adam was the first man from whom the natural race originated on the earth. In fact, was created directly from the dirt, dust of the earth. And so the bottom line is, in the natural, we're a bunch of dirt. We're just dirt. And when we die, guess what our bodies do in the natural state? Goes back to the dust from which it came. In every way, he was earthly. But, praise God, it doesn't end there. Amen. There is the second Adam, and that is Jesus Christ. And that's why you read in verse 46, but that which is natural, okay, but howbeit, verse number 45, the first man was made a living soul, verse number 45, and the last Adam, look at this, was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward, that which is spiritual. Now, every person in this room has been born the natural birth. But every person that has been born the natural birth needs, by the grace of God, to be born the spiritual birth. Because if you're not born again, if you're not born in the spiritual birth, then you will not have a spiritual body. And if you don't have a spiritual body, you will not be able to enter into the kingdom of God. Because this body is not fashioned for heaven. But the body that came out of the resurrected grave, that's the prototype that you want to be involved in. And Jesus is the second Adam. He was made the quickening spirit. Jesus is the prototype of the resurrection. He is the prototype of our spiritual body. Now think about this. If you're saved, all descendants of Christ will have spiritual bodies. That's a part of the gospel. That's a part of accepting the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the power of God and the salvation. It is the resurrection part of the gospel that has the power. Because the Bible says, listen to this, in Romans chapter 8 it says, the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that lives within us as a child of God. It's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. When Jesus Christ came out of that grave, He showed us the prototype of what our resurrected bodies will be like. How do you become a descendant in the spiritual sense of Jesus Christ? You get saved. You trust Christ. Aren't you glad the Bible is simple? You trust Christ as your Savior. You call upon the name of the Lord. You have repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do, Christ's resurrection will be your prototype because His resurrection is the prototype of all resurrections. Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Turn left in your Bible. One book back and go to Romans chapter number 5 and notice what the Bible says in verse number 19. Romans 5 in verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, that's what we read in Genesis chapter 2, for by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So, by the obedience of one, that's the second Adam, Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. In fact, that's the only way. Look at verse 21. Romans 5:21. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why you got to understand, my friend, you ain't going to get saved by your good works. You ain't going to get saved by your baptism. You ain't going to get saved by holding on. You ain't going to get saved by rituals. You're not going to get saved by doing. You're going to get saved by trusting Christ as your Savior. Period. And when you do, the Spirit of God moves within you. The Holy Ghost of God moves within you. And when you die, your natural body goes into the ground. But because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we one day shall be resurrected just like Him. Look at verse number 12 of Romans chapter 5. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. Nobody's going to escape it. Outside of the coming of the Lord, nobody. For that all have sinned. Verse number 15, though, says this, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And the many is those who have trusted Christ as their Savior. You see, the body that was raised from the dead on that first Easter Sunday morning had been a natural body. Everybody got to get this now. Jesus Christ came and was born in a natural body. It was not a glorified body. It was a body just like yours. The only difference between His body and our body is He was not a sinner. His inheritance did not come from his father in procreation, because His Father was God and God has no sin. And so the blood that flowed through the veins of Jesus Christ was sinless. It was perfect. It was the blood that would be placed on the mercy seat. And that when we trust Christ as our Savior, we can be saved because He shed His blood for us. But He was born in a natural body. He became weary. He became tired. He dealt with all of the things that we deal with in our body. But when He came out of that grave, by the way, that body was incarnate. It was God in the flesh. And Jesus was born in that natural body, and He died in that natural body. But when He resurrected, it was no longer natural. It was spiritual, and it was eternal. Amen. And that's the prototype for us. So that we don't sorrow. We have hope. Now, Jesus, the second man, is right now producing a spiritual race. Salvation through the gospel. Salvation which is by grace through faith. Those who are saved will be a part of the eternal resurrected body. And in Jesus we see the prototype. Jesus lived on earth in a natural body. But here's the difference. He came from heaven. He bears the image of the heavenly. Whereas Adam only bears the image of the earthly. Adam was tied to the earth, and Jesus Christ is tied to heaven. Because of our natural descent from Adam, we're part of those who are earthly. But if you're saved through the gospel, and this resurrection chapter is showing us it is the capstone of the gospel, our inheritance is in Jesus Christ. Now folks, my inheritance is in Jesus Christ. And I'm a part of the heavenly. But I can't get there in this body. Just can't do it. In Adam, we are earthly. But in Christ, we've become heavenly. But one day, our natural bodies from Adam will be changed into our heavenly bodies from Christ. Again, verse number 49 says it like this. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. So just as we will trade our natural Adam body for Jesus Christ's spiritual body, we will also exchange Adam's image for Christ's image. Well, what does that mean? Well, when you look at the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ, you can get a glimpse of it. We can't get it fully, but you can get a glimpse of how great His body was, how powerful it was, how wonderful it was. And therefore, when you understand that He's the prototype and we're going to receive it, then get a couple of things like this. He could go through walls. And it ain't got nothing to do with Star Trek or The Mandalorian or whatever else thing that Hollywood comes up with. I'm telling you, we got to be very careful, because Hollywood comes up with some of this stuff to try to trick us or to deceive us. The only way you're going to get a resurrected body that can walk through a wall is if you're saved. Amen. He could eat, He could drink, He could sit, He could talk, He could be seen by those He wanted, and praise God, I like the part about eating. Wouldn't it be a bummer if we got to heaven and we couldn't eat? Listen, praise God I got saved. I don't do the things I used to do. But praise God I eat. Amen. And I like good food. Woo! Are we going to have food in heaven? My hamburgers. Ding dongs. I'll be able to drink milk again. Because milk goes like that when I drink it. Well, you say ding dong does that too. I don't care about that. I just say ding dong. Some things you just gotta. Ice cream. Fish. Okay, let's move on. Here's what I want you to get. Now, this is the serious part. You know what was amazing about the post-resurrection of Jesus Christ? He was remarkably the same. But he was more remarkably different. After Jesus ascended up into the heaven, the angel told the disciples, and I'm going to quote in Acts, "This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." The body the disciples saw after Jesus' resurrection is the same body that it'll be when he returns. Our bodies now, and this is how I started out, and I want you to say it again. Right now, our bodies are perishable. We all understand that. Our prayer list is full of people that have ailments and cancer and COVID and sickness. And we have to have operations to try to fix stuff. And all of these things come upon us. Why is it? Because our bodies are perishable. They're dishonorable. They're weak. They're natural. But my friend, when they're raised from the grave, they will be imperishable. They will be glorious. They will be powerful. They will be spiritual. And they will be eternal. Because flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 says this, "For our conversation..." And that word conversation means our life, our person, our soul, our very being. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who," listen to this, "shall change our vile body," and I would put this, our natural body, "that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body," His spiritual body, "according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." Now, I know we're finite, and I know we're human. And I know we may not be able to imagine exactly what it'll be like when we do, but I do know this. I do know that the Bible says in 1 John 3:2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Think of it like this. The graveyard of the saved child of God become the seed plots of the resurrection. You have a loved one planted somewhere in the ground. That's just the seed of the resurrected body that'll come forth. The cemetery of the saved are fields of promised perfection. If we believe in the resurrection of the body, then we will use our bodies today for His honor and for His glory, the best as we possibly can. The body will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because it's natural, it's corrupt, and corruption does not inherit incorruption. Hey, it won't be long now when the saved will be given heavenly bodies suited for heaven, and the lost will be given bodies suited for hell. They will suffer forever in darkness and in pain. And whatever happens to our present body, whether healthy or unhealthy, short-lived or long-lived, this is not our permanent body, and so don't hold on to it too dearly. Because our blessed hope and the assurance that these created natural bodies one day will be recreated as spiritual bodies, because the Bible says it like this, "We shall be like Him." And so I want you to remind you that Paul had not only said what he said in 1 Corinthians 15 about the resurrected body, but he said that if you're saved by the grace of God, he might remind us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, he would say this, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves or mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Then he would go on to say this, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Prototype. Look at Jesus and know that's where we're headed. Not saved? You'll have a body fashioned for hell. And by the way, it'll be corrupt. And it'll be where the worms dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I'm glad. Praise God. In 1984, I got a spiritual body. I haven't checked in on it yet, but it's waiting. Somebody say amen. Let's stand this morning. Every head.